seventh key principle. There's always something that can be done to help. Hey, just the other day I saw someone in one of the nursing homes, and you know, her heart was okay, blood pressure, medications were all good. But I'm checking her out, and I was trying to look back at her throat, just playing with throat problems. And what happens? I look down there, and then something keeps falling down. Her dentures, they're loose. And you know, it was something simple, but it really bothered her, and she really hadn't told anyone about it. So that was my main intervention that day, was to have the dentist look for ways that can secure her dentures better than they were. I worked in Crestview Residency Hospice, Center for Hospice and Palliative Care Nursing Home several years ago. And we had a young guy in his 20s who had lymphoma. And he was the nicest guy, very quiet, hardly ever said anything, hardly ever complained. But he had lymphoma throughout his body, and he was on a lot of pain medication. He had tubes everywhere that blocked off his urine, so he had to have a bag for urine. It had blocked off his bowels, so he had a bag, you know, a colostomy bag. So I asked him, I said, "Mike, you know, is there anything I could do to, you know, help make your life, you know, better, that you might enjoy?" He says, "Well, I always wanted the Ford F-150 truck." All right, well, we have Ford dealers in town. Let me give a call. So I called up, I think the one right up the street here. West Her, right up the street. I called them up, and I said, "We have this kid who always wanted to see, you know, have a Ford F-150 truck. Can you whack that Ford F-150? And he'd come down and, you know, maybe we'll take a ride." And that's what he did. So we all go out. It wasn't a double cab like that. It was a single. We're all in the front seat. And Mike was in the middle. The dealer was driving, and I was sitting on the road. And driving out to the airport, Mike says to me, he never really said anything, you know, asked me anything. He says, "Do you have any money, Dr. Saul?" I'd love to buy you a car, but he wasn't asking that. He said, "Do you have any money?" I said, "Yeah, Mike, you know, why?" And he said, "Well, can we stop at McDonald's?" So that's what we did. We drove into McDonald's, and I didn't want to go through the drive-thru. I wanted to go in and sit down and have a decent lunch. And he, you know, with his bags and everything, that's what we did. We went right in there, we had lunch. And he got the chocolate milkshake that he could drink, and he said, "Can I have a large one?" I said, "Yeah, of course." And as we're going out, he said, "Can I have another one of those chocolate shakes?" I said, "Yeah." And I also bought him a toy for the day, you know, kind of like a souvenir. So there's always something that could be done to help. But you know, if I ever say to a patient, "I can't help you anymore, there's nothing really I can do for you," you know, I'll feel very disappointed in myself. And so, you know, it might not be a medication or a procedure, but if you can talk to someone, if you can explain something, if you can find out what they're all about and what is really important to them, there's always something you can do that can help.
One more story about how there's always something you can do to help. This was a lady that was also in a nursing home, and she was dying of colon cancer. Her blood count, normal blood count, was about 13, let's say. Hers was now about 5 and 6. It was rapid. She was still alive, so they were taught and basically function. What could you do? She didn't want anything aggressive. There was nothing that could be done for cancer, no chemotherapy, no surgery, nothing. So I'm going out to lunch one day, and I asked her, "Is there anything I could do for you? Can I bring you back a slice of pizza, or I'll make her life a little more enjoyable?" said, well, I'll stop it for 6 years, and we'll be back at home. I consider this one of my major medical successes. Smile on her face, and brought her, I went with the nurse practitioner that I was working with, and brought her a little hat, and
she got all those things down,
versus hardly needing anything else. So, you know, there's always something that can be done to improve
how you feel about things, your outlook,
and remember depression. You might have things to be depressed about, but other people have the same and aren't depressed. Humor, a joke, the social interaction is key. Like cancer patients, when people get cancer, the tendency is to feel in the office, people suddenly verify this, they get very isolated. People don't know what to say to them, they're, you know, afraid to talk about the cancer, you ask them about it, you know, what you say, it's very uncomfortable. And the imposter scare, the number one thing is being there. You don't abandon, you don't let that person get isolated and alone. They still cherish human contact and interaction. Enjoy jokes. People I ask, you know, I'm here to still check ears, even if someone's dying with cancer. Even, you know, their hearing could be a little better. I had one person say, I don't want to hear anything again. And so I'll go back to my office and get the wax I've been collecting. I'm pretty tired of hearing. So, last time in October, a lot of fun stories, I think, came off. One story I'll tell in the shop. If anyone has a story to top it, I don't want to hear it. I don't like it as a whole. But I went to see a resident in the nursing home one day, and there was a bowl of peanuts next to her bed. And it was late in the day, I was hungry, and I just started eating peanuts. And before you know it, they're all gone. And I said to her, I apologize, I didn't even ask you if I could have these, I was just starved. And she said, that's okay, doctor. I just like to suck the chocolate out. Take advantage.